Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast? It's a question about what Jesus and his disciples are not doing. If you want to know a secret about how to be self-righteous, how to be judgmental, pick up on something people are not doing. It's a lot easier. If you want to be self-righteous, don't try to find bad things people do, because you might not find very much. You might not see their crimes. But if you can identify what they don't do, it's very easy. Because there's always something that's missing. Oh, you might be successful, but you don't have a PhD. Oh, you might have this or that, but you don't have this award. You don't fast. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee does this. He says, I fast twice a week and I pay tithes. That no, other people don't do that. Therefore, I'm better than they are. That's the whole principle of self-righteousness. I'm better than you because I do something you don't do. I have something you don't have. So all you have to do is pick out something that someone doesn't do, and you're automatically better than they are. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying that's a very easy way to be self-righteous. The question of the disciples of John is probably not a question based on self-righteousness. I think it's a legitimate question. They're followers of John. I don't remember now if John has already been arrested. I can't remember the chronology of Matthew's gospel right now, but they know John has pointed out the one who is to come, or has prepared the way for the one who is to come, and it's Jesus. And so now they're trying to figure out how to follow John and at the same time respect Jesus. They're two different people and they have two different styles. Are we supposed to fast or not fast? It's a legitimate question. When it comes to the Pharisees, because they bring them up too, the Pharisees fast much, we fast much, you and your disciples, you don't fast. When it comes to the Pharisees, Jesus had pointed out already that the problem with the Pharisees is not that they are not fasting, they are fasting, but they're doing it in order to be seen. Or the trap that they have fallen into so often is hypocrisy. So if you remember back in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus spoke about fasting, he said, when you fast, don't make yourself look gloomy and disheveled, because then, so that everybody knows you're fasting and they'll be impressed by you. He says, no, when you fast, do it in secret. Comb your hair, wash your face. Don't let anybody know that you're making a sacrifice, because the sacrifice is for your relationship with God, not for approval of everybody else. So with that in mind, here come the disciples of John saying, you don't fast. Well, do they really know if they're fasting or not? Maybe they're fasting in secret. Nobody knows. That's the best way to fast. In our times, there isn't that much talk about fasting. There's a lot of talk about special diets. No gluten-free diet, carnivore diet, vegan diet, all the but if we accept the principle of self-discipline, good. It's good that we don't give in to every desire or every whim of our nature or everything that happens to make us feel good in the moment. It's good if we can discipline ourselves. So in that sense, diets are good. But if we are doing it in order to impress people, or if we're doing it simply for earthly advantages, well, then it doesn't really have anything to do with our spiritual life. Well, Jesus, once he's asked the question about fasting, immediately changes the topic. He brings up weddings, he brings up sewing, repairing old cloth, he brings up what to do with wine and wineskins. He's not talking about fasting at all. You see, what he does is he changes the subject, because he doesn't want to talk merely about practices, external practices. Because there's good ways of fasting and there's bad ways of fasting, and whether you're fasting or not isn't actually the essential question. She says, yes, okay, they're not fasting now, but they will fast at the right time. His main point is not about fasting, but about the comparison of what is old and what is new. What is the former and what is now current. The old way, which is where the Pharisees are, and which is where John by definition is, because he's preparing for what's new, but he's not the new one. The old way is to fast. The old way is to have an old piece of, an old cloak. The old way is to have old wine skins. The new way, which is what happens with the arrival of Jesus, means there has to be a new way of life, a new way of approaching fasting, a new cloak, a new wineskin. Otherwise, if you try to fit the newness of the gospel into the oldness of the law, it's going to burst and you're not going to have anything. So that's his main point. He bypasses the question of fasting because that's not essential. What's essential is newness, a welcoming of the newness of the gospel, a welcoming of the bridegroom, and to celebrate the new wedding feast of God and his people. He asks the question, can wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? And the obvious answer is no. They don't go together. That's old and new, they don't go together. Once the bridegroom is present, once the wedding is taking place, that's not the time to fast anymore. It's time to have a celebration. When I say people don't talk much about fasting, people don't talk much about weddings now either. People don't get married anymore, you've noticed that. People aren't getting married, so maybe that's part of a very modern problem. People, they just don't get married. They just wait forever. And they don't have children. That's the modern problem. Well, that's actually, maybe it's a complex phenomenon, but it's based on old ways of thinking, you know? Self-concern, self-protection, fear. The new way that Jesus introduces is a new basis for our relationship with God. Because Jesus opens up the new possibility that we can be children of God, that we can have a relationship with God as our Father, that we can be set free from slavery to sin and slavery to our natural desires and slavery to what people expect of us and slavery to old customs. No, there's something new when it comes to Jesus, and that newness makes it possible for us to make a gift of ourselves, to love even those who don't love us, to give even to those who don't give back to us, to risk loss because we have already received so much. That's the new way. Jesus speaks about new wine. The new wine is the gospel. The new wine is the teaching of Jesus, the new way of relating to God. If we try to force that newness into our old human style, it doesn't work. It can't work. So this is what Jesus is doing here. He takes the opportunity, the question gives him an opportunity not to talk about fasting, because that's not the essential thing, but to reveal there's a whole new gift being made available here, and this is what we should focus on. Whether we fast or not isn't essential. What is essential is that we welcome Jesus the bridegroom, that we put on a new cloak of the Christian life, the way of love, that we welcome the new wine, and that we become new wineskins in order to preserve this great gift.